Well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. It is good to be here tonight. Oh, yes, that wonderful moments we have to worship the Lord. It's so special, you know. I think sometimes we don't value it enough, you know, this ability to come and worship in this place is a privilege. And you know, we might not always have this privilege. Things can come up in life anyway that might make it difficult for us to come, or, you know, the economy, you know, things could go down. You know, things that we know, the grid, so many things, you know, could change and make it maybe impossible for us to gather here. But praise the Lord has given us this evening. And praise the Lord, I am thankful that we are here gathered tonight. I thank God for everybody online. And oh yes, we just have another opportunity here to give the Lord praise and to draw nigh unto Him. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, that we can gather here tonight. Oh, God, we thank You for Your little flock that, oh, Lord, that You have preserved. And, oh, God, that You have gathered together. We're so thankful that we know, oh, God, Thy abundance of Thy love, Lord. Oh, God, the goodness of the Lord, God, all the things that You've bestowed upon us, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, Your living Word that You've put in our hearts. And, oh, Lord, that we can open up tonight. We just thank You for this opportunity. Oh, God, this place. Oh, Lord, these moments here together, Lord. And I pray, oh, God, that she be here, Lord. That the strong man would be bound. And, oh, God, any disruptions, anything, oh, Lord, that he would try to do, I pray that they would not affect us, oh, Lord. Oh, God, but that You give us strength and power. Oh, God, might, oh, Lord, in Thee, Lord Jesus. Oh, God, and let Your word would come forth, oh, Lord, as You have ordained it to come forth. Oh, Lord, that You'd use this word, oh God, that You'd draw us close to You, that You'd use this word, oh God, to get us to those places in Thee that we need to be in, Lord. Oh God, those heavenly places with You, Lord. I pray, oh Lord, that Your presence would come down, Lord. Oh God, that You'd meet the needs of Your people, Lord. To meet the needs of Your people, oh God, that You'd give us faith to believe You, God. Faith in Thy promises, faith in Thy word. I pray, oh God, that You'd use this word, oh God. You give me the words that I need, and oh God, let it go forth as, oh God, You would have it to go forth. Oh Lord, we thank You. Lord, we need You. And oh God, in Jesus' name we pray. Oh God, let Thy word, oh God, have recourse, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I can hardly believe it's the end of October. Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord has set us free. Oh, and that we are not bound to this world and the traditions of this world and the customs of this world. All these things, it kind of dawned on me as I leave the house that it was the 31st, like, so-called Halloween. And then I thought, oh, no, I left my back light on. And I thought, oh, I hope they're not doing tricks and treats, you know, and all that sort of thing. And I guess not. But you know, I'm so glad. You know, I wouldn't even hardly think about that, except, you know, little reminders that pop up. We see houses, you know, that have orange lights on or something, and, you know, but thank God, you know, we're not bound to that, and He has set us free. I'm just so thankful that we can come here tonight and offer praise, and oh my, how we need Him here tonight. We pray, oh yes, that those that have plans that oppose the kingdom of God, that they would be displaced, that they would be put down, that the Lord would take care of those things that, the evil ones have determined to do. But God is greater than that. We are going to bind those evil spirits in the name of the Lord and take authority over them in the name of Jesus. By the power of the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to talk about waiting on the Lord tonight. Waiting on the Lord. And, you know, I just think, you know, to do some reading I've been doing. I was given the book Azusa Street to read. Brother Don gave it to me to read at this point, and there's a lot of thought-provoking words in that book, and it pertains to the very earliest part of the 20th century, the very early 1900s, and outpouring of the Holy Ghost before, you know, it was widely known. You know, there were believers, there were people that, you know, had a heart after the Lord, but, you know, for the most part, people had not received the gift of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of other tongues. And there were a people that began to wait upon the Lord. A little church place in Los Angeles. It was hardly a building. I guess it was a rack. It was, you know, and they had to prop it up with planks. It was nearly falling down, and, you know, it was like dirt on the floor, and, you know, they put a few benches there, and, you know, it was just a place to use, but not good condition at all. But that was Azusa Street. But people began to flock there. People began to come because there were people that were waiting on the Lord. And, you know, it was an amazing thing. You know, they didn't have a structured service at all. It was like they were coming, you know, in the morning, they were coming in the afternoon, they were coming in the evening, sometimes they were praying all night. You know, it was like there was a continual wave of prayer going on, and expectancy, and they didn't even know hardly what to think, but they were waiting on God. And praise the Lord, after times of waiting, the Holy Ghost fell. And yes, they began to receive the Holy Ghost baptism with the evidence of other tongues. And praise the Lord for that. Things begin to change. And oh my, thank God, you know, that we have that promise of the Father that He would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. And praise the Lord, it wasn't restricted to an earlier time. It wasn't restricted to the early churches, the day of Pentecost or something. But it's for all that the Lord our God shall call. And praise the Lord, that means us too. If He's called us into His glorious kingdom, that means that the Holy Ghost baptism is for us too. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful. Because, oh, there is a power in that baptism. Oh, yes, there's a conversion that comes with that baptism that we all need. We need that strength. We need, oh, yes, the living God to be within our very being. And, yes, the Holy Ghost is God in us, the hope of glory. Praise the Lord. Oh, the promise of the Father that He would send forth His Spirit upon all flesh. Praise the Lord. But praise the Lord, it's a wonderful thing to wait on the Lord, and I think it's almost something that's been lost at this point. I think we've almost, you know, we hardly know, it seems like, anymore what it's like to really wait on the Lord until, you know, the answers come. You know, I know waiting is such a thing, you know. Remember, you know, those earlier years when my mother and dad would be coming from Eau Claire. It was a special time, and you know, we'd have to, you know, prepare things and, you know, fix up a meal and get a bedroom ready for mom and dad so they could stay overnight and all that sort of thing. But, you know, there was a lot of happy anticipation with that. And I can remember how my children used to like to go sit on the front steps and just wait. When it seemed like it was about time for, you know, their grandparents to come, my mother and my dad, you know, they'd go sit on the front steps and just wait. Or otherwise, maybe if it wasn't, you know, that kind of weather, maybe just peering out the window and just waiting. There was that anticipation because, yeah, you know, we're looking forward to, you know, seeing some very dear faces that we hadn't seen for a while. But, you know, it just seems like in this kind of period of time that we're living in right now that, you know, some things are kind of forgotten in this day that we live in, you know, where you can, you know, just go to a place and have fast food or pick up packaged food in the store, you know, put things on a credit card, you know, and all those kind of things. It seems like people have kind of forgotten. In fact, you know, one very sad thing that has happened is that, you know, it seems like couples these days aren't waiting to get married. They just go live together and think it's okay. But these are all signs of the times. And yet, in this dark hour that we live in, because, oh my, from what we're seeing, it's not too bright, it's not too light in this world right now. If we ever needed the Lord, though, if we ever needed to wait on Him, it's now. It's time for us to get to that place where, you know, our hearts are drawn to Him. And, you know, we have that great, great desire. Oh, yes, to know the will of God. And it was just really something, you know, the author of Azusa Street, Frank Bartleman, and he was a man greatly used of God. From what I can read, he was also a writer and, you know, pastor, a preacher, and, you know, all those things he did. But it seemed like time and time again, God would prompt his spirit, especially after he was filled with the Holy Ghost baptism. You know, God would prompt him, and he would just know things. You know, he would know that, you know, a certain person was not going to show up, or, you know, that, you know, there was a need, you know, in a certain place, or, you know, reason. And, you know, God would really use that. And, you know, that's another aspect of the Holy Ghost, that we might know the mind of God, that we might be prompted by the Holy Ghost and know His voice. And it could be that, you know, in these days that we live in, that there may be no other way to know where to go or what to do. You know, we do need to get to that place where we know what it's like to be led by the Spirit of God, to be prompted by that still, small voice that speaks to our soul, and to know it, and to know it well. There's a lot of deception in this world, and a lot of people are deceived by the things that they've heard, and, you know, the things that come to their minds, you know. But praise the Lord, there is the true Spirit of God that speaks to His children and tells them the things that they need to know. The things that they need to know. Praise the Lord. The places they need to go. You know, I'm not probably remembering this story real well, but it just came to mind. It was during also the earlier part of the 20th century. It happened in Russia. It was before it was taken over by the communists, the Bolshevik Revolution, in other words. And there were groups of Christians that prior to the revolution felt prompted in their spirit to leave. And I think there were three different groups that were mentioned in this article that I read. And they really didn't know where to go or how to do it. And, you know, it was in every group there were several individuals, you know, I'm sure a variety of ages and all of that. But they felt it in their spirit, the need to get out of there. And the Lord would take them day by day. He would give them direction for each day, where to go, where to stay, and all of that. The next day there would be more direction and more direction. And, you know, there were three different groups, and they didn't, you know, all follow in a line. But, you know, the Lord led each of these groups. And praise the Lord, they all ended in a safe place. They all ended up in China, as I recall. And they all ended up in the same place, if I recall. And, you know, it was amazing. You know, the Lord maybe took them a little different route. But, you know, they all got there, and they were led by the Holy Ghost. You know, they had no idea when they began where they were going to go or how they were going to get there, you know. You know, but the Lord is able to do that. And there are times that, you know, We must have instruction that comes from God, none else. And besides, whom else can we trust? You know, the arm of flesh will fail us, but God knows, and from the beginning He knows all the things. He knows how to keep us. He knows how to hide us. He knows how to provide for us. There is nothing too hard for our God. Praise the Lord. But I know we need to learn to wait on the Lord. And one thing that comes to mind is found in Daniel, the 10th chapter. And here in this 10th chapter, it tells us, in the first verse of chapter 10 of Daniel, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. But there was a burden in his heart, it tells us here in so many words. In the second verse it says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. There was something heavy on his heart. And it says, I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which was Hiddekel, which is the Tigris River, by the way, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Oh, praise the Lord, a heavenly visitation here. It says in verse 7, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. So, you know, they kind of all scattered away. And here Daniel is left, and you know, so interesting how the Lord did that. So it says in verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw the great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me unto corruption, and I retained no strength. I mean, you know, he saw this great sight, and it left him, you know, just feeling like he was going to faint. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. See, the Lord heard, and the Lord intervened. It wasn't an immediate thing, but God is faithful. And here it was. It was time now. Oh, the answer began to come here. And the explanation here, verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now am I come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. Couldn't speak. Oh, it was so amazing what had happened, you know, breathtaking, and he had no more strength in him, it seems. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. It was too amazing, you know, this heavenly visitor right there, you know, in front of him, speaking to him, giving him the information, answering the burden of his heart. He said, for how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, have you been there? Have you been to that place where you had no strength of your own? Maybe you were so tired that, you know, you felt like you could fall asleep in an instant, but you had something that you had to do. You prayed for strength. Praise the Lord, and the Lord strengthened you. Praise the Lord, amen? Praise the Lord, I know He's done it for me. Yes, I know that. Oh, praise the Lord. So God was strengthening Daniel here, one like the appearance of a man, and He strengthened me. Oh, those touches from God. Oh, we are so poor and needy. I mean, how do we know how to ordain our days? How do we know what to do and you know, how to act and what to say, what to do, and all those things, oh my, that we have great needs of. But the Lord knows, oh yes, how to bring forth the answers and also give us that kind of strength so that we can go forth. It's not our strength. It's the strength of God, oh yes, who holds us up. Praise the Lord. And He said in verse 19, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when He had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, lo, the prince of Grisha shall come, but I will show thee, which is noted in the scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Oh, praise the Lord. The answers do come, but you see Daniel there was waiting upon the Lord. Waiting for the Lord, the one who could give him the answers. There's several portions of scripture in the Psalms that talk about waiting on the Lord. Let's go to Psalms 27 right now. Psalms 27. I love this whole psalm. I don't know. We have time to read it all or not, but there's a lot of strength in this psalm. Let's read it. Psalms 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, if God is with us, who can be against us? It says in verse 2, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came up upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Oh, praise the Lord. I know there are many examples of God's people that went through the camps of the enemy and were not touched, did exploits because God was with them and would not allow the enemy to prevail against them. And then it says in verse 3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Oh, praise the Lord. Elisha knew about that, didn't he? Oh, the whole Syrian camp had come against him. The whole army of the Syrians came against him. But he wasn't afraid. Oh, no, because he knew that there was a heavenly camp, you know, that was surrounding him. Oh, yes, and he knew they were mightier. The Assyrians, praise the Lord, yes. Oh, God took care of all of that. Absolutely. 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. And then it says in verse 4, "One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Oh, I see these simple things as the great desire of the psalmist's soul. It's a psalm of David, and that's what was in his heart, that desire to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. In other words, to be in the presence of the Lord, to be in the place where the Lord is. And then, oh yes, that day that we all look forward to behold the beauty of the Lord. Praise the Lord, and that privilege that we have to inquire in His temple. Oh, praise the Lord, we are privileged as God's children to be able to go before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Oh yes, and to inquire in His temple. Praise the Lord. For it says in verse 5, "For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock," oh, a place of safety in the time of trouble, hiding me, making me secure, hiding me from the adversary. "And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer up in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Oh yes, he's talking about the delivering power of the Lord, delivering him from the enemies. Praise the Lord, if we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we also know that song of deliverance. Praise the Lord, that song that He puts in our hearts. "Therefore, we can offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy." Oh, I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. He puts that song in our heart, a song of praise unto our God. Praise the Lord, because we have been delivered, and we know the living God. It says in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When Thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, O Lord, will I seek." Oh, how wise it is to seek the Lord while He may be found. How wise it is to call upon Him while He is near. Oh, how necessary it is for the wicked to forsake their ways, and the unrighteous his thoughts, and to return unto the Lord. He shows us such great mercy when we seek Him with all our hearts. Oh, the day that you seek me with all of your heart, Jeremiah said, that's the day that I will be found. Praise the Lord. So it says, "When Thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto Thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face far from me. Put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my mother and my father, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up." Oh, praise the Lord. You know, there are times when there is no human being that can help us. It's just not possible. But praise the Lord, we have access to the throne of grace. Oh yes, we can talk to the living God. Oh, and His promise, His provisions to help us. Praise the Lord. The Lord will take me up. And it says in verse 11, "Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies." Oh yes, make it clear, Lord. Help me to see straightly, you know, that path that You have me to walk in. Oh Lord, teach me Thy way. Put it deep within me so that I might know, so I don't stumble, so I don't fall, so I don't get run over. Help me, Lord, because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Oh yes, what would we do if we didn't have the Lord to draw strength from? What would we do in those times of trouble? And then he says in verse 14, wait on the Lord. See, there's a great secret here. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord, the secret. Oh, yes, of following the Lord. Oh, knowing the Lord is to wait on him. Psalms 40, verse 1, David wrote also, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, that song of praise, that because he has delivered us, he brought us up out of that horrible pit. I mean, we were condemned. We were set for hell, but the Lord rescued us. Oh, yes, he redeemed us. He saved us. He brought us up out of that horrible pit, out of that miry clay. Praise the Lord, he put our feet upon a rock, even the rock, Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, he established our goings. Praise the Lord. But you see, he was saying, I waited patiently. It might have taken some time. You know, the answer probably didn't come at the snap of the finger. But he waited patiently. He knew his God. He knew God was faithful. He knew God would answer. So he waited patiently for the Lord. And praise God, God inclined unto him and heard that cry. Praise the Lord. You know, last week we were in Micah 7. And just that interesting little verse there, Micah 7 and verse 7. It was a time that Micah was describing as a time when you could not put your trust in your fellow man. Could not even necessarily trust in your family. He quoted, well, Jesus ended up quoting from him, actually, a man's enemies are the men of his own house. And all of that sort of thing. He's talking about a time of great betrayal and distrust. And who knows what is ahead. But praise the Lord, Micah knew what it was like to wait upon the Lord. And he said in verse 7 of the 7th chapter of Micah, therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Praise the Lord, that's the faith that he puts in our heart. You know, as children of God, he puts that deep within us. Because, yes, we serve a God that's never late. It may be a long time in waiting for some of those things that we desire of the Lord, maybe even need. It may be a time of waiting. But God does not fail. God's promises are yea and amen. If we could just hold on them, we can hold to them and wait on the Lord and let him do his perfect work. Praise the Lord. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. Oh, you know. You know, returning and rest, yeah, that's turning your life over to the Lord. That means repentance from all those things that are abominable in the sight of God. Finding that rest. Oh yes, you know, letting the Lord work in you. So yes, you rest from your old works. You rest from your old labors. You let the Holy Ghost intervene in your life. In fact, the Holy Ghost is that rest. But here it's stated, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, that strength that comes from God. But yet, he says, ye were not. He's talking to a rebellious people. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee. And we will ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. Oh my, if that's where your confidence is, that's where your strength is, okay, you know they're going to pursue you. And you are going to have to flee. Said 1,000 to flee at the rebuke of one. At the rebuke of five shall you flee till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain and as an ensign on a hill. Oh, praise the Lord, the people of the Lord who are light in this world. Praise the Lord. But otherwise, if your strength isn't in the Lord, you're going to flee at the rebuke of one. You know, it's going to be too much for you. You know, if your confidence is in your own self or in your government or, you know, your city or whatever all, your family, your own means. But for those who wait upon the Lord, praise the Lord, oh yes, the answers will come. It tells us here in verse 18, and therefore, talking about those that wait, will the Lord wait that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for him. Praise the Lord. Blessed are all they that wait for him. And you know, when Jesus came to this world, it seemed like a lot of people seemed to have forgotten that God had promised to bring forth a Messiah, that he had promised, you know, that there would be one who would come forth to deliver them. Of course, they didn't understand. He's going to come forth to deliver them from the sin. You know, sin is bondage. If we're, you know, we're the servant of sin, then we're in bondage. We're bound for hell. We're condemned. But praise the Lord, the plan of God was that he would bring forth a deliverer. He'd bring forth a Messiah. And yes, when that fullness of the time was come, and Jesus Christ was born into this world as the Son of God, there were a few that were waiting for him. And I think of two in particular, as it tells us in the second chapter of Luke. Let's go there. The second chapter of Luke, there were two in particular that were waiting for the Christ, the Anointed One. And it tells us here in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, and speaking of the Christ child Jesus, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is set in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So here it is, Mary and Joseph are bringing Jesus into the temple to fulfill that which was required under the law. They were in the time of the law, so it was necessary, you know, with their offering that they were going to give. And they, of course, you know, as they were coming in to fulfill it, it tells us in verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him." The Spirit of God was upon him. And he came with the unction of the Holy Ghost upon him, directing him to come in at that very exact moment when they were bringing Jesus Christ into the temple. But here he was. He was just, he was devout, and that was what he was waiting for. He was waiting for the coming of the Messiah. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, as it states here, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It tells us in verse 20, "And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the Christ child to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Oh, yes, this prophetic utterance that Simeon was bringing forth here. Yes, because, yes, that child was also going to be the deliverer. He was going to be the redeemer. Yes, he was going to give his life a ransom for many so that we could be forgiven our sins. Oh, thank the Lord. We could be forgiven our trespasses so we wouldn't have to live in them anymore. Praise the Lord. Praise God Almighty. So Simeon came in at that very moment, led by the Spirit of the living God. And I love how it had been told him. He knew in his heart that he wasn't going to see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ, the Anointed One of the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ Child, Jesus, Joshua, Joshua, you know, in other words, which means Savior. So he came. He was waiting. He came. And then there was another woman, or another person, a woman that came. It tells us in verse 36, "And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem." Praise the Lord. This woman, this prophetess, this daughter of Phanuel. And it's interesting, the name Phanuel means face of God. And you know, his daughter was going to literally see the face of God. Praise the Lord. So, as a young child, Jesus Christ, praise the Lord. So here was another individual who was waiting for the promised one, waiting for the Messiah. Praise the Lord. And she came in just at that moment. Yes, when Mary and Joseph were there with Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. And gave that prophetic utterance. Oh, it had been long desired to see the Christ. And it tells us that in Luke, the 10th chapter, We turn a few pages over into Luke chapter 10. Jesus said in verse 23 of Luke chapter 10, verse 23, "And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them." All those individuals who had been waiting for the promised one, the Christ child, the Redeemer of Israel. But it wasn't in their lifetime that he should come. In fact, it tells us in 1 Peter, the first chapter, starting at verse 9, "Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Oh, praise the Lord. Those prophets, they would prophesy, they would utter forth as the Spirit of God would come upon them, and they would bring forth those utterances. And yes, they would wonder when it would come forth. Oh, I'm sure they desired that it would come forth in their own lifetime, you know, that they could see it, that they could be a participant. But it was to follow down the road, so to speak. And it came to them to realize that those things that they ministered, the things that were given to them by the overpowering of the Holy Ghost that came upon them, for holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, that you know that it would be a later time that gospel would be preached and that the Holy Ghost would be sent down from heaven. Oh, it talks about that Holy Ghost there in that 12th verse of 1 Peter chapter 1 as being that thing that the angels desire to look into. Oh, that wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. But they were waiting for the promise that would come. You know, it was a desire of their heart to be a participant. But it was going to be down the road. And praise the Lord, that day did come when Jesus came into the world. And you know, Simeon and Anna were there to identify him. Oh yes, to see the face of the Savior. What a wonderful thing, you know. Let us now thy servant depart in peace, you know, Simeon could say, you know, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, he could realize, he knew that, you know, that which had been told him was now fulfilled and how that helped him. Praise the Lord. And oh, how it must have been for Anna too to realize, you know, that she had seen the Christ. Praise the Lord, the one, oh yes, that they had yearned for and looked for, oh, through the ages of time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, even since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, all that desire that God would send forth a Redeemer. Praise the Lord. But before Jesus left, after his ministry was fulfilled, after, you know, he was crucified and raised again and walked in this earth for another 40 days, you know, he also told them that were with him of another promise that was yet to be. Before he ascended, he gave them specific instructions, didn't he? Praise the Lord. We can read of it in Luke, the 24th chapter, verse 44, here at the very end of the book of Luke. It says in verse 44, "And he said unto them," those that were with him, of course, "these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, in the Psalms concerning me." You know, amazing, there are so many utterances that were given, you know, even in the law of Moses, then by the prophets and in the Psalms that concern Jesus Christ. And they all were fulfilled, every single one of them. And here it is, before he ascended back into heaven, tells us in verse 45, "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures." You know, many things had been hidden from them before, and they had not yet received the Holy Ghost. So, you know, they didn't have that insight, inspiration, that would be deep within to inspire them after they were filled with the Holy Ghost. But here he's making way that they might have understanding. It says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scripture, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things." And he said, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Oh yes, he was laying forth the gospel here. Yes, as it had been written, that Christ would suffer and rise from the dead the third day. And therefore, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Pretty specific here, isn't it? You know, repentance, the turning away from one's sins, and remission of sins preached in his name among all nations. That includes everybody. And how do we receive the remission of sins? It's by baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Praise the Lord. So he's commanding here that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name, very specific here, in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. "And ye are witnesses of these things." And then, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." Praise the Lord, he was going to send forth the promise of his Father. He was going to send forth the Holy Ghost, the Spirit that was in him. He was going to send it forth, that ghost that he gave up on the cross, so that he could send it back on the day of Pentecost. But yet, yes, tarry, go wait ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Oh yes, until you be filled with that Spirit of promise. Oh yes, his words. "And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God." Amen. Now that takes us over to the first chapter of Acts. Oh yes, Luke also wrote the book of Acts. It's also beginning with this very instance. Also here, as he's showing these things that came forth right before Jesus ascended, here to begin, and Acts, the first chapter, says in verse 1, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, unto the day in which he was taken up. After that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." So now, and you know, we don't nearly have all the recordings of everything he did in those 40 days. It's way beyond that which could be recorded, I'm sure. But it was many infallible proofs that you could not ignore, that were, you know, 100%. And it tells us here, right before he ascended, in the words of Luke here in this first chapter of Acts, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel?" They still didn't get it. And no, Jesus came forth to bring a spiritual kingdom into existence. He was bringing forth the kingdom of God through his ministry and that which would follow. And he said unto them in verse 7, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." Praise the Lord. They were following through on the words of Jesus Christ, his final instructions to go to Jerusalem and wait there until you be empowered with the Holy Ghost baptism. Oh, that, you know, that baptism which is going to come upon you not many days hence. Oh, praise the Lord. That promise that was given them, that promise that they would receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon them, and that they would be witnesses. Oh yes, the light of God is shining clearly in their lives, so that they could be a light in the world, a witness to the power of God, the witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh yes, in the story of the gospel. And that, yes, that same Jesus which went up from them into heaven one day would come back again in like manner as they had seen him go into heaven. Praise the Lord, this story of the gospel. But they went into an upper room, and there they assembled, and there they were waiting. What were they waiting for? They were waiting, as Jesus had specifically instructed them, to wait for the promise of the Father. the promise of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, that he said would come upon you not many days hence. For John truly baptized with water unto repentance, but John had declared that ye should be baptized with the Holy Ghost. And Jesus was verifying it and uttering those words likewise, that they would be baptized, immersed with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Praise the Lord. You know what God has declared, it will happen. And praise the Lord, we know that second chapter of Acts, it was the day of Pentecost. You know, he ascended into heaven on the 40th day. Pentecost means 50th, so it must be a period of 10 days that they were waiting for the promise of the Father. They didn't know how it would ascend upon them. They had no real thoughts, I don't think, how it would be. But praise the Lord, they knew it would happen. They knew they were told to wait. They knew that God would bring forth the gift of the Holy Ghost, that he would fulfill his promise. And praise the Lord, here we have it, that second chapter of Acts. Verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were assembled there together in one accord, in one mind. In other words, in one place. And praise the Lord, suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Oh, what a moment. That which the prophets had inquired of, that which the prophets have written of, that which the angels desired to look into, ascended upon those that were gathered together there in that upper room, waiting for the promise. And it happened. I think many times people give up way too soon. I think it's almost a forgotten thing to wait in this day where everything is so snap at the fingers type of mentality. You know, I think it may be that waiting is almost a lost art, so to speak. But there are times that there is no other way to receive the answers. The Lord is looking for a people that will wait for him. Oh, that, you know, don't lose their confidence just because it doesn't happen at the snap of a finger. You know, God is waiting for a people that, you know, will just believe that because he said it, because it is declared in his word, it's going to happen. And praise the Lord, it did. It came forth on the day of Pentecost as they were gathered together with one accord in one place. Oh yes, what a moment that must have been. That sound that came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. Praise the Lord, filling all the house where they were sitting. Oh, cloven tongues like as a fire, oh, sitting upon them. Oh, as they were going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. Oh, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Praise the Lord, we know that there were many gathered around all of them, you know, and it wasn't like one of those quiet moments at all. This event was spread abroad. They began to hear. It says, oh yes, verse 5, now there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. See how God arranged it? You know, he let it happen at this feast time when all the, you know, Jewish people and proselytes and those that had faith in God would be gathered together out of every nation. So it says, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. I mean, what is this? You know, these are Galileans, and how come we hear them speaking in our own native tongues? And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and in the parts of Libya beyond Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Oh, you know, and you've got some genuine ones here, and you've got some that are mocking. Those that mock said, these men are full of new wine. This is too crazy. But praise the Lord, Peter, filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, now converted. It tells us in verse 14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Oh, praise the Lord, just as Joel had declared it those centuries before, that God was going to pour out of his spirit. Peter stood up there and said, this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. This is that. It is now come to pass. Oh, praise the Lord. What a wonderful thing, that outpouring of the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, as a girl, I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and I knew very much what it was like to have an altar call. I knew what it was like, what people would be pricked in their heart. They'd come forth to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I know how it was when the Lord dealt with me, and that night when he called me, and oh my, all at once I could hardly wait to get up there and pour out my heart to the living God. Praise the Lord. But you know, there's that time of waiting. You know, and sometimes people's hearts are prepared in such a manner that they can receive it rather quickly. And, you know, it does take repentance. You know, I was listening to a clip online. When I was a girl, there was a missionary that came to our church more than once. His name was Billy Cole. And he went to Thailand and did a wonderful work for the Lord. But, you know, he went other places beside. And this one clip that I saw today had him in Ethiopia. And it was quite an amazing thing. This happened in 1992. And there were actually other like meetings the years that followed. But in 1992, he went to Ethiopia. There was a little place that they had prepared for people to gather. I think they expected about 40,000. The place was maybe, you know, had room for about 40,000. Well, I'll tell you what, God called a lot of Ethiopians that day to hear Brother Cole and to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And the estimation was that there were about 130,000 people that came. In fact, the building was way too small. The PA system was way too insignificant. But the Lord began to work. But I'll tell you what, these people, they came early. They came early. They were there 2 hours or so before that service began. And many of them walked many miles to get there. But they were there. They were preparing their hearts. They were waiting for outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And praise the Lord, you know, it happened. Yes, they were urged to repent and turn their lives over to God. Oh, yes, to, you know, make their hearts void of any offense before God. And they fell to their faces and repented. And then Brother Cole and there were translators that were helping him admonish the people to worship the Lord and receive the Holy Ghost. And, you know, they had taken count to try to calculate those that had already received the Holy Ghost that were gathered there and those that yet needed to receive it. I'll tell you what, God was faithful. They had been waiting for the Holy Ghost, and He poured it out. Oh, they weren't even quite sure how many received it that day, but you know, thousands of people were filled with the Holy Ghost there. Oh, they were out on the streets even, gathered together, you know, it was so many of them. And even after they received the Holy Ghost, they worshiped the Lord. Oh, you could hear them, you know, 1 hour later, 2 hours later, still worshiping and praising the Lord and rejoicing in the God of their salvation. Praise the Lord. There was a clip of some of them that returned to their city on a bus. A bus was full of them. 8-hour trip, if I remember right. They were worshiping and praising the Lord the whole time. Oh, praise the Lord, to wait upon the Lord. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Oh, could it be that there's something that we yet need to learn? Something so simple. Maybe in this fast movement day when everything happens at the click of a finger, so we think, or we wanted to, that have we perhaps forgotten how to wait on the Lord? Oh, yes, there may be times we need to pour out our heart for hours. But praise the Lord, you know, God is faithful. God knows how to pour out of His Spirit. And He's promised. Oh, yes. Peter there on that day of Pentecost told them to repent and to be baptized, every one of them, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He said, for this promise is unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, and even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise the Lord, that Holy Ghost is for us today. It wasn't just for a certain few people. No, it's for us today. And if we ever needed it, we sure do need it now as we await the coming, the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Oh, one of these days He is going to come. He's not going to tarry. He's going to come. He's going to come for a people that are waiting for Him. A people that have trimmed their lamps. Oh yes, a people who have repented of their sins. But buried in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord is coming back for His people. For those that wait for Him, yes. Those that wait for Him, to those shall He appear. Praise the Lord. Are you waiting for the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. We need to learn what is the need, yes, to lay even before our God and to let Him work on us, to mold us, to change us, to cultivate in us His Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Ghost to make us into His image. Tell you what, it's not a snap of the finger thing to be transformed into the image of His dear Father. But praise the Lord, God Almighty has sent forth His Spirit that we might be converted, that we might be His children. Oh yes. Oh yes, that we might attain unto that heavenly calling by the grace and mercy of God. Praise the Lord, by waiting on the Lord. Praise the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's right. Mount up with wings as eagles. Oh yes, that ability to run and not be weary, to walk and not faint. Praise the Lord, if we can wait upon the Lord, He will hear our cry from our heart. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, God. Teach us how to wait upon you, Lord Jesus. Teach us, Lord, how to wait upon you, Lord. Oh, God, teach us, God, to get to that place with you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise your name, Jesus.